Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son. And to the Holy Spirit.
Alleluia, alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells his disciples, I am the true vine. These are familiar words. But have you ever wondered why Jesus calls himself a vine? And have you ever considered why he says he is the true vine? Even though they had never heard these words before, these two questions likely didn't occur to Jesus' disciples. They would have recognized the metaphor he was using immediately. Like the shepherd imagery we heard Jesus use in last week's gospel, the image of a vine is used repeatedly in the Psalms and by the prophets in speaking of the relationship of the Lord to his people. The psalmist, for instance, writes, You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. As in our text, the Old Testament portrays the Lord as the one who looks after the vine. Indeed, he is the one who first planted it in rich soil, and has done everything possible to ensure that it bear good fruit. Yet the Old Testament is consistent in the judgment that that's not what happened. Through Jeremiah, the Lord says, I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? The Lord's judgment is even more pointed through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah wrote, when I looked for my vineyard to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its head, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. For all the Lord's efforts with his vine, with his people Israel, at harvest time, he was sorely disappointed. Though he had done everything necessary so that they could be fruitful, and thus had every reason to expect a rich harvest, they produced nothing for him to gather in. His vineyard did not produce good grapes. With this description of Israel's history drawn from Psalm and Prophet, the answers to the questions with which we began become clear. Jesus said, I am the vine, in order to identify himself with Israel in their relationship to the Lord. Jesus is the epitome of God's people, in continuity with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of their descendants before the Lord. Yet Jesus fulfills Israel's destiny in a way they never did. That's why he says, I am the true vine. Unlike the vine the Lord planted in the promised land, Israel of old, Jesus is rootstock which lives up to its promise, lives up to the Lord's expectations in every way. He was faithful and fruitful in a way Israel had failed to be. Where they consistently did not produce fruit, what Jesus brought forth was always and ever the best. Yet not only has Jesus lived up to expectations as the vine of the Lord in a way that Israel never had, he is also the one through whom the people of God become fruitful branches in the Lord's vineyard. Jesus tells his disciples, and with them also you and me, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. With these words and throughout this text, Jesus insists that it is only in connection with him, only by abiding in him, that anyone can bear fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, Jesus says, neither can you, unless you abide in me. And even more forcefully, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. I'm afraid we have a rather higher opinion of our abilities than our Lord. we would like to believe that on our own, we have something to contribute. That somehow we can do something good. Something that would earn God's favor. Something that would make him smile. But Jesus doesn't allow any such conceit to stand. He is adamant here. Apart from me, you can do nothing. St. Paul testifies to this truth when he confesses, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. And Paul here is speaking as a Christian. Apart from Christ, we lack even the desire to do what is right. As the Lord says, the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Apart from Christ and the life he gives, you and I are of absolutely no use to God. Left to your own devices, your destiny is fiery destruction, like the unfruitful branches. But God has not left you to yourself. That's the point that Jesus is making in today's text. You share his life, his vitality, because he has gathered you into himself. When did this take place? Where? Well, it began in holy baptism. When the scriptures say you were buried with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life. As a result of your baptism, the life of the resurrected and ascended Christ now flows through your veins. As St. Paul writes, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If that's how you were grafted into Christ, how you were joined as a branch of the vine that is Jesus, how is it that you abide in him? As Jesus explains, this involves his word. He tells his disciples they are clean because of the word that he has spoken to them. And he connects their abiding in him with his words abiding in them. Vital to your continued connection to Christ is the presence of his word in your life. So we see Jesus wasn't at all exaggerating when he told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You receive God's word when you join here in worship, as through liturgy, reading, and hymn and sermon, Jesus comes to you and enters into your life through the doors of your ears. You receive his word when you join in Bible study. You receive his word as you engage in family and personal devotions. You receive his word as in your daily activities. The Spirit brings to your remembrance what Jesus has said to you, and you reflect and meditate on the scriptures. Through his word, God brings you to see yourself as you are by nature. A poor, miserable sinner, completely unable to help yourself, deserving of punishment for your sin both now and throughout all eternity. Yet through that same word, God also brings you to see yourself as he sees you through his Son, cleansed and redeemed. No debt to pay, beloved child of God, and heir with your Savior in the kingdom of heaven. God's word reveals to you that by nature you are a sinner deserving hell. But it reveals also the glorious truth that by his grace, through faith in his Son, God's mercy extends to you. In Christ, because of his holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death, you are destined for the glories of heaven. So what is the fruit that you bear because of your connection with Christ? Jesus says that that fruit reveals you as his disciples and gives glory to the Father. What best fits this description is faith, and accompanying it also hope and love. Love which is embodied in your desire to live according to your loving Father's word, and in patience, kindness, and gentleness that you show toward others in home and work and neighborhood. These, faith, hope, and love, are the fruits produced by all who abide in Jesus and cling to his word. Faith in the word of the teacher is the essential mark of the disciple, and God is glorified when his people trust in him, when they look to him for help in times of trouble, and thank and praise him in their lives for remembering his promises and redeeming them. And this fruit is increased as the Father uses his word along with the circumstances in your life to chasten you and to purify your affections. In preaching on this text, Martin Luther reminded his hearers that Jesus spoke these words mere hours before he was arrested, tried, and crucified. Luther explains, it's as if Jesus were saying, "I share the fate of the vine in every respect. They will torture, scourge, crucify, and kill me in the most disgraceful manner, so that all the world will suppose that I must finally perish and be destroyed. But the fertilizing and pruning I suffer will yield a richer fruit. That is, through my cross and death, I shall come to my glory, begin my reign, and be acknowledged and believed throughout all the world." Later on, you too will have the same experience. You too must be fertilized and cultivated in this way. The Father, Luther says, takes the devil in hand and says to him, "You are indeed a murderer and evildoer, but I will use you for my purpose. You shall be my hoe. The world and your following shall be my manure for the fertilization of my vineyard. Your intentions, Satan, are evil. You are very bitter and angry, and you plot to destroy my vine. But I will use you as my tools to cultivate and dress the vine. Therefore, cut, chop, and hoe away, but not beyond the bounds that I set. For you shall go just so far that it will not ruin my vine, but will help and improve it. You shall do only enough to make it sturdy and lush." This is how the vine dresser, your dear Heavenly Father, prunes and cleanses you to make you a healthy and productive branch of his vine. God grant you ever to abide in Jesus and his word, to accept whatever hardship he sends your way as his pruning, and by his rich grace to abound in faith and hope and love, to his glory and to your eternal joy. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.